Hey, fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess, and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hello, welcome to entry one of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. I am your host, Jess, and I am so excited to have somebody super special to me here today. You know, you may know this, but you may not as well. On my Insta stories, I like to post my very best friend in the world. My nickname, my alter ego rather, is Pamela. And I have Gina here today, my very best friend in the world, aka Lightskin, aka Brittany, who's the founder and CEO of Project Beauty Expo. So today's entry into the diary is actually called Half and Half. So the reason I called it Half and Half is not because Pamela and Gina are actually here today, but because we've been in LA for half a year and I've grossed $500,000 in my business. So I want to just tell this story of how we are sitting here in my showroom in downtown LA, looking at a sign that says Fashion District right now, when we're two girls from the Alameda in Baltimore, Maryland, Northeast to be exact. So, because last year, that's where we were. So for us to be here right now, how did this happen? So I'll tell a little bit of the beginning, and then I want for Gina here to jump in. All right. So for me, I had always known that I wanted to relocate. Mm-hmm. I had always knew. So for anybody that may not know my story, I started designing clothing at the age of 14. I did a lot of custom prom gowns and a lot of like just custom pieces. I did hoodies and all types of crazy stuff in high school. And I was actually making money, like part-time money in high school. And following high school, I moved to Philadelphia. I went to the Art Institute. I graduated with a degree in fashion design, but I felt that the school had really prepared me for just that technical skill set to get a 9-to-5. And I had learned very early on that most designers that work 9-to-5 as designers, they make like 25K to 40K. Mm-hmm. That ain't gonna cut it for me.
Right.
So I was like, I already knew this is not going to work. At 19 years old, fresh out of college, I knew this was not what was going to work for me. I always wanted more for myself. I knew that was not going to suffice. I knew that after taxes and after health insurance, I was going to walk away with nothing. So that was always my mindset. And my mom was a nurse. My dad worked a lot of different jobs. You know, they were married. They weren't entrepreneurs, but my grandfather was. Mm-hmm. So I think that it was just instilled in me from like generations prior. And also my mother and father, but my mother in particular was the most supportive person ever. I knew, okay, I had a bigger why behind this. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Art Institute. Following that, I moved back to Baltimore. I work in property management, working at a leasing office, literally leasing apartments all day. Even got Gina a job there. Gina was working somewhere else. I was like, Gina, they hiring. You might want to come over here. They give out discounted apartments or whatnot. So we're there. I give notice 3 times before I actually quit. The first time I gave notice, my supervisor at the time told me, yeah, I heard that you're trying to leave. That will be crazy. You have the opportunity to make $80,000 a year here. And I'm like, oh, okay. Mind you, I'm like 20. I'm impressionable. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to stay a little longer. Gave notice again. Worked there part-time while doing my designs part-time. I had a showroom in downtown Baltimore part-time. It was like $500 a month. I had that for 6 months. I learned very early on. My motto is part-time energy equates to part-time results. So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I was making like $400, not enough to even survive. So I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't going to work. So I went back to the job full time. And my dad had passed away in 2011. And then one of my friends at the time had pulled me up like, you are not yourself. You're not being creative. You're not designing. You need to get back to it. And I remember that conversation, and I created the best collection I ever made. And I showed during Fashion Week for 2 seasons. I was invited back again. I started to get a lot of press inquiries, but that does not equate to money. Again, stop getting hyped up because a brand is in Barney's if you don't know how much they're producing in Barney's. Mm-hmm. Barney's just went bankrupt. So people thought I was successful because I was in magazines, but that I wasn't making money off of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to pay for that. They didn't have to pay me. So it's like, it's great, I'm getting brand awareness, but I'm not getting revenue. So I decided to invest in a coach, a business coach in December 2015. She had a background in overall business ethics. Her name is Raven. She's amazing. And I was also connected to two mentors in the fashion industry. Neither one of them had coaching programs or, you know, sign up here for $29.99. That wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. It was more so these women had entrepreneurial backgrounds. They looked like me. They owned their own factories. They had wholesale background. So they were in Atlanta and Dallas. I was having sessions with them. I flew to Atlanta for one day only just to get the education. Like, I was doing whatever I had to do. And within 4 months, I had left my 9-to-5, never made less than 5 figures a month since that day. And the first day I was an entrepreneur, I could tell God was testing me. It was like, I remember sitting on my couch, like, what do I do with myself now that I'm an entrepreneur? What does my day consist of? And that day I made $12,000. And that day, like, I'm talking 8 hours, not even 24 hours, 8 hours of me working for myself, I made 12K. So I'm like, okay, you're onto something. And then the month after that, the Fashionpreneur Academy was born, my coaching program for emerging fashion-based entrepreneurs. I wanted to create a curriculum that combined business ethics with fashion. So this is a fashion business coaching program. Again, it just happens to be about fashion, but it's mm-hmm. business coaching. So that's what we do now. We've been able to help over 125 fashion-based business owners become full-time fashion business owners, or at least set up additional revenue over 4 figures a month. So we've been able to see a lot of success. We have so many clients that have left their 9-to-5s, like Jessica Black, Dominique Danielle, that are doing great things all over America as well as beyond. So this didn't happen overnight. We didn't get these results overnight. Mm-hmm. I called Gina one day and I was like, you trying to move to LA? We were both like in a place where we were just ready for something new. We yearned for something new. We were transitioning out of relationships. We were finding ourselves as women. We always talk about our growth as women and how we didn't feel like we were women until like 26 hit. When 26 hit, it was like,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So I feel like I called her and I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's move. And she was like, I'm down. So literally, like a year later, maybe, we were out and we planned it the whole year without telling anybody. We didn't tell anybody until we were really like moving. Yeah. And we just moved. I had a store in downtown Baltimore. I shut it down. And the secret, this is where God comes into play. He was there all along, obviously. But God speaks to me in dreams. So I had a dream in 2015, right? The day before I hired a business coach, I had a dream. I told this story a million and one times, but like, mind you, I'm a property manager. My friends are basically my coworkers. So Gina wasn't my coworker. She worked at a different office. But Taylor, one of my good friends, she actually worked at the same office as me. And James, another good friend of mine who was my supervisor at the time. We're all in this office together like any other day. And in the dream, we're in the office across from the hospital that my dad passed away in. And my dad passed like literally out of the blue, had a heart attack and died. He had great health. It was just out of the blue. So it was unexpected. And we're in this office showing apartments. It's a very busy day. And James in real life used to let me off whenever I needed to go to New York, whenever I needed to connect, go to a networking event. So I asked him this particular day, I'm like, hey, my grand opening is next door. Like, I need to go. And he's like, no, you got to work here. You got to be here. So I'm like, dang, I got to wait till 5:00. The whole Baltimore City is pulling up at this grand opening. It's my grand opening to my store for my clothing line, Irregular Exposure. I'm at work, though. Soon as 5 hits, I run next door. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving. They're not talking to me. My mom left. Everybody's sick and tired of me. So my dad is the only person left. And he's like, I can't believe you. I told you I got you. How dare you not trust and have faith? And the one word that stuck out to me was faith. And I remember the next day going to work in real life. I'm like, I've never had a dream this vivid. I've had a couple dreams about my dad, but that one hit different. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, whoa. So I told James and he was like, you know what the problem is, right? He said, you don't know what faith is. I know you used to go to church as a child. You tell me about that all the time, but recite the Lord's Prayer to me. And I couldn't do it. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow. He said, yeah, you don't know God. You don't know him for real. You don't. You might have went here and there to church, but you don't know him. And I was like, you're right. So literally that night, I prayed. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to pray. I'm just like, Lord, like I had a conversation. I just broke down in tears. The next day I found my business coach. So I felt like God still speaks to me in so many ways. Sometimes I just hear voices at 3 a.m. Like I remember being in Mexico one day, 3 a.m. waking up and hearing Fashionpreneur Academy. This coaching program used to be called Irregular Exposure Fashion Academy. And it was something completely different. The curriculum was completely different. I redid the entire curriculum. That day, I trademarked it. It was fully available. I'm like, oh, I see what's happening here. It's completely different now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I got to know God and I did the work. Like I did the work to get to know who God really was and who Jesus is in my life. So I felt like from there, he just kept telling me stuff. So when I called you and told you like, let's go to LA, I felt like it was a no brainer. So tell them what happened from December to like May, how it really, why you're really here. Cause I want them to understand like what this has to do with you.
Well, you know, I was doing the event for a few years, and even while doing the event, I was still working full time, which was a big struggle because I was living in Baltimore at the time. And the event, you know, for 2 years, I did it in New York, and I literally planned the event from Baltimore that was in New York. And I would only be able to afford to go to New York maybe like twice a year, enough to check out the venue and maybe go like one time again before. And that was it. So it was a huge struggle. And during that time, I was, even while I was working full time, I always still tried to be take on jobs that was still involved in what I wanted to do. So during that time, I was working for an event production company. I worked for two companies that year.
Yeah, you did. And you got fired from bad jobs.
Okay. She has a running joke about me getting fired. I'm not a bad employee, guys. It's just God let it happen. Okay. Let's just say that. I'm not a bad employee.
No, you're not a bad employee.
The first company literally shut down. Like, I remember going into work on my last week and trying to log onto my computer. And, like, the CEO locked himself in the office and got on a conference call that I didn't get on because it was my last week working, and said, yeah, the company is dissolved. It's over. And, like, I wasn't going to get my last paycheck. So that was that. and then I started working for an event production company, learning how to, like, set up, like, draping, pipe and drape, learning about truss, all this other stuff. All about event production. And then they let me go. So that was that. And then I started
the family round. Wasn't it like family owned?
It was a family owned business.
They didn't like her.
I didn't really fit in and they let me go. I was very much a city girl. They were like country folk. It just didn't work out. So then I started working at another company that same year, later that year, and I started working at a venue that was in downtown Baltimore. And I literally managed that venue. Like the venue, they basically had a space upstairs and they wanted to create additional revenue for themselves. So I said, okay, well, just host events. Like I can just, you know, be fully dedicated to that. So I did that and I helped grow the business. I found out later to like over 180K or something. I don't know, something like crazy. And I was like, wow, okay, just with me. So and during that time, you knew I wasn't all the way happy. I wanted to move. I wanted to work for myself. I wanted all these things, but I just didn't know how to do it. I was kind of like stuck in a rut and I still had that imposter syndrome going on, y'all, where I just didn't trust in myself to make these things happen. So you called me and asked me about moving to LA. And in moving to LA, you originally had someone working for you that was supposed to move. And I remember you calling me at work and you were like, they're not going, they're moving somewhere else. And I was like, oh man, like, what is this going to mean? What is this going to do? Mind you, like, I still was saying I was moving to LA and I had no idea what I was going to be doing for work. I was just like, I'm moving to LA. I just don't know how I'm going to make any money, but I'm moving to LA. And then you and I were on the phone talking about LA and you were like, so what are you going to do for work? Like, how, where are you going to work at in LA? And I was like, I don't know. Cause I'm also an esthetician. So I'm always can like find something. I've never, even though I get fired, I can always find something to do. So I was just like, oh, I'll just find something. And you were like, well, why don't you just work for me? And I was like, ooh, because I mean, I've known her since ninth grade. So that's my dog, but we were going to be living together and working together. So that's like a lot at one time.
I don't know if y'all know, but the cost to live in LA, bruh.
I mean, like,
and I've never hired a friend. I had one friend that had worked with me, but she has her own daily operations company, Taylor.
Yeah.
So it was different. Like it was a contracted service, but I've never employed a friend as my employee full time at that.
Yeah.
And I made you a nice offer too. I was like, but I'm like, she has this whole marketing background. She has a degree in marketing. She understands it. This is my best friend. It's nobody else in this world that I would trust with this new move to LA. And I still was hiring over here in LA, but I needed somebody to operate really daily support and operations for regular exposure.
Yeah.
And I was so, she was not playing. We had our contracts in place. We negotiated time off, everything.
Yeah.
And then she started in December. Mind you, you got to remember my mindset too. She's thinking how she's going to make money. I'm thinking about how I'm about to shut down my store that's making over five figures a month in Baltimore to relocate it to LA. And I don't know what that looks like, but all I know is God directed me to move here. So he has a plan. And I move by faith, not by sight. So I see everything through spiritual eyes. So I said, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. People thought it was crazy. Why am I closing my store? Do you know that store is still vacant?
Yeah.
My landlord does not play. He was like, until I find a spirit like yours, nobody's moving in here. Mm-hmm. I don't need the money. So he literally was begging me to stay. I'm like, I gotta go. And I remember him looking at me saying, so you're gonna give up a 1400 square foot space to move into a 200 square foot office in LA where nobody knows you? And I said, yep. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay. So that's what we did. We were in an office. I remember we all were trying to do conference call and calls and call customers, and we couldn't even hear ourselves because it was like working in a closet. Mind you, we had inventory behind us, so we're just like sitting there like, yeah, so I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Like, we would go in the hallway to do our calls. It was crazy. But
yeah,
the fact that everybody there, me, you, Linnea, you guys will meet Linnea soon in the future. She's the production manager for Regular Exposure. So she oversees all of our products being produced. She's the person that sources your fabric, communicates with all of our factories, communicates with our vendors to make sure everything is fit, perfect. So all three of us were working there. And I remember us just, I was so happy though. I was so happy with the minimum.
Yeah.
And then like you were there, you were already trained up. I like gave you everything you needed in Baltimore and you came and just got to work. But you literally were there to watch the growth. Like, I don't think people know this is the transparency moment here. Like, a Regular Exposure last year was about to get shut down. We were only breaking even last year. It took me 12 years to get it to where we are now, which is almost at $1 million in sales. That did not happen overnight. That was because we both came in with the mindset of what we're going to do. I remember January 1st on the on New Year's Day sitting down saying, this is the plan. We're going to make $1 million this year. This is how.
Yeah.
And you dedicated yourself fully to that. So we went from like a 5K month to like 10 to 20. I remember seeing a 30K month and then a 40K month. And I was like, what is she doing? So like literally we came in, we did the marketing classes.
Yeah.
And it was like you made sure we had influencers. Like, it was like we finally, you set up the outline that we're still moving by today, even though you got fake fired. So like you literally set up the daily operation that now is the flow that I now train every person on that comes through this door. So that tells you how great you are at marketing. But
thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like in May, I basically went to her and I was like, you have to go. I told her, like, I'm just going to give you like a 3-week notice, but you have to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, if anything, first of all, I don't even talk like this. I don't even say if something goes bad, you fall back on this. I don't believe in falling back on anything. But I told her, if it's a slow month for you, it don't even matter. Like, God got us. You think I'm going to let us be out here homeless? Like, it's not happening. So she was like, I got, maybe I just need one more month. I'm like, no, you got to go. She was having meetings with Target. Like, getting flown out, going to meet with Target partners who knew you when you walked in the room were telling you.
Yeah.
They knew who you were. Can you tell them about that?
So, a good friend of mine, she's been a part of my event for, I would say, about, like, the past 2 years. So, since, like, 2017, she was accepted into their accelerator program. And their program is basically geared towards wellness and beauty brands that want to eventually be sold in Target. Not every brand is chosen to be sold there, but at least you can get a feel of what it's like to work with a large corporation like a Target. Uh-huh. Like, talking about from labeling, shipping, packaging, like how to stand out on the shelf, all those things come into play in your supply chain. All of that stuff matters, right? So during her weeks of participating in the program, she had to create presentations. And while she was a part of the program, she kept speaking about Project Beauty Expo, like literally all the time, to the point where they were like, okay, what is this? Who's Brittany? What's Project Beauty Expo? What is it about? So she sent me an email one day and was like, yeah, they want you to come out to their demo day where like all the brands that are in the program are going to exhibit and everything. And I was like, they want me to come? Like, why they want me to come? And she was like, yeah, I think it'd be a great opportunity for you. They're based in Minneapolis, so that's where their headquarters is. And I said, mind you, we just got here because that was in February and we just moved here like the end of December, like basically January.
Yeah.
So, and money was definitely tight. So I'm like, how am I going to make this happen? But I'm going to do it. Tell them I'll be there. I'm going to make it happen. I was just determined to make it happen because I never wanted to miss an opportunity. Even though it was hard for me to like believe myself sometimes, I still never wanted to miss an opportunity, whether it cost me money or not.
Right.
And it was so funny because, as you know, the parking upstairs is a little tight. And I was parked one day and I already was had the mindset that I was going, but I didn't know how I was going to pay for it to go to Minneapolis for like 24 hours. And this guy scratched my car.
So we have parking upstairs, y'all. So at my showroom, we have a lot upstairs for like all of the staff. And we both would like park upstairs.
Yeah. And I remember you weren't here. You were back home with family. And this guy scratched my car. And I was like, come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I just got here. You mean I gotta pay to get this car fixed? Like, I was frustrated. And he left a note. He was very nice. He left a note for me to contact him after. I went and got an estimate, and I think it was like a few thousand dollars to get it fixed or whatever. And I was like, man, he ain't gonna pay this money. Like, I was like, he's not gonna give me this money. And he paid it. And I was like, I'm a great citizen, because that is exactly what I used to get to Minneapolis. So if y'all still see a dent in my car, that's why. Okay. And it all worked out in the end. But
it did work out.
It did work out in the end. So, yeah. So I went there. I was nervous because I also didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know who I was really meeting. I was just going based off what she said.
Right.
And I flew there for like, 24, 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And I went there and they were like, hi. I was like, hi, I'm Brittany from Project Beauty Expo. They were like, oh, you're the most important person in the room. And I said, oh. You think so? I mean, I was just like flattered and everybody was so nice and, you know, it was just amazing. And then, you know, we talked further from there. And then they eventually became a part of Project Beauty Expo for this year in 2019.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy how everything worked out, because I was saying yes, but I didn't know it was going to turn out to be like this.
No, I remember the day you called me, like Target said it's a go. And if they want to talk to you after, but we'll talk about that after.
Yeah.
But like, I remember it's not just like they're doing your event. It's so much more that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just can't, I can believe it. I think you couldn't, but that's when you identified that you felt like you had imposter syndrome and then you realize, okay, I got to get out my own way. Yeah. So I feel like with us being here in LA though, there were a few things that got us here. It made us comfortable to know that this was going to be home, because people don't know, we were traveling to LA. Well, we were traveling to like Atlanta, LA. We were doing vendor events and splitting the table in half. So she had her side for Project Beauty and her skincare line at the time. And then I had my side for regular exposure, which was not what it is today. And we were selling directly to some of the people that are literally my friends and owners of companies that I sponsor for events now, like Claire Salmers. We met her when we did the first event in Atlanta. I was like, I have to connect with this lady. And she had a line of just fans wanting to take pictures. I Bogarted the whole line and was like, here, this is who I am. This is my name. I went in with the energy and the mindset of, I'm not a fan, I'm a partner. You might not know it yet. You might not see it yet. I don't see it yet. But I'm not a fan, I'm a partner.
Yeah.
So I feel like we do too much fanning, especially in LA.
Yeah.
But I feel like every time we came here, it wasn't for a photo op. It was more so to build relationships. Like,
yeah.
That networking event we came right back out here for. We had no money. We stayed for 48 hours. We literally made it happen, though. But these are some of the happiest moments. We were so, I think that's why we're so blessed now, because we were so grateful at that time, too. Like,
yeah,
I was so grateful in the 200 square foot office. Now the fashion district. And this isn't a matter of, I don't think y'all realize, we moved 8 months ago now.
Yeah.
So I moved here the first day of the 6 month mark. into this new space. So that's how fast things progress. We moved our office from upstairs and partnered with another factory location that's like 20 minutes away for bigger space. Like the way that God grew things was literally out of faith. It was like, I moved here without knowing any of this. I had no plan of having a factory. All I knew was I needed a space to house inventory, and I knew it couldn't be our house. I even considered that at first. Like, should I just be shipping from home? And it's like, I know I need staff. I need support. And we were definitely seeing good money. Like, we were making six figures. We were making well over, like, we did like over $250,000 last year. We did very well last year, but we did not see $1 million at all. Like, not even $500,000. We got close, but we did not see $500,000. And I remember this year saying, I declare and decree we're going to see $1 million. Not because it's, not because I want to be rich and wealthy. Like, because you make $1 million doesn't mean you have $1 million in your account.
No.
I'm an employee of my business. I get paid every 2 weeks on payroll like everybody else. But the mindset was to make this money, to be put in position to be able to get more results for the clients that I have, to be able to put them in better positions for partnerships and distribution for a lot of them that design. And I wanted to also be able to create opportunity for youth in Baltimore from this money. And we are literally right there. Like, I can't wait to see the rest of the year through, because it's right there. And it just shows you, like, if you just do your part and meet God halfway, that's all he needs you to do. So the secret is really the faith. And it might sound, again, it might sound cliche, but it sounds cliche because you can't feel it. So I feel like if you start to look at things and change your mindset and see that life is actually a spiritual realm. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm a Christian woman, but I am super spiritual within my religion. And I do feel like everything is through spiritual eyes. Like, yes, we're here on earth right now, but you know how people say like sometimes spirits come back reincarnated, like, you know, you can literally come back as somebody else, or you could have been here before. I believe that, like, firmly. And I feel like everything, like, life is literally a dream. Like, it's what you make it. So, like, if you get too caught up in, like, the worldly concept of life of, like, okay, you're supposed to have a 9-to-5, you're supposed to work. Like, we were in a hot tub with our aunts yesterday. Your aunts are in town. And people don't know this. Fun fact, crazy fun fact. Me and Gina actually share a little cousin. So our little cousin is in town. She's turning 18 this week. And we were just in a jacuzzi, and our aunts were telling us how inspired they are and how much courage it had to take for us to be here right now and how excited they are to see what's coming. And one of our aunts was like, we were at the jacuzzi. We were just going to put our feet in, and we were fully clothed. We had on like our pajamas for the night. And I was like, you want to just get in? And Gina was like, oh, we're going to get in with our clothes. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. And we got in. And our aunt was like, you know, y'all just gave me a life lesson right now. Like, y'all just did it. Who cares that y'all have full clothes on? Y'all just did what y'all wanted to do at that time. Like, y'all live so free. And I'm like, yeah, it's a lifestyle. Like, and she was like, you know, I just realized I'm so by the book by looking at y'all. And that's not what gets you where you want to go. And it's not that you, you know, disobey laws or disobey people. It's more so whatever you were taught, you need to forget it.
Yeah,
like, for real, whatever you were taught, you have to forget it. And like, I'm really big on like mindset, and what God has done for me is straight through mindset. Like, every day I look in the mirror, and y'all should try this, every day I look in the mirror and I tell myself, you have everything you need. You have everything you need. I told you to start doing that. Like, every morning before I leave the house, I look in the mirror and I say it until I feel it. So even on my worst day, and I don't have a lot of bad days, honestly, God, I'm grateful every day. But I remember one day recently, I was just over it. I was like, I don't feel like doing anything today. And I had to get up. I had so many client calls. I had to stay motivated for them, to pour into them. And I just looked in the mirror for like 25 minutes. Like, you have everything you need. You have everything you need, until my spirit feels it. It's like my spirit connecting with my body, in a sense. Like, your body is not, that's just where you rest at, where your spirit rests at. But your spirit is really what matters, your character and your spirit. So I feel like God is the most imperative part of any of our story. Like, I don't believe a coincidence. Everything's confirmation. So there's no such thing as a coincidence. Like, I don't believe things happen coincidentally. I believe that God allows things to happen. And also, the devil hears your prayers too. So sometimes it could be him sending down something for you. But I believe that, like, there's no coincidence. Out of every company in the world, your vendor, your friend just kept saying your name, and now you have a partnership with Target. Like, That's not a coincidence. That's confirmation that like God's favor is on you because you've been doing his work. And I think also the most a very important part of this with our move to LA, we go to church every Sunday. And yeah. It's this mindset with millennials. Oh, I'm not supposed to go to church. I don't have to go to church. They have a lot of church hurt. The church did this to me. The church did that. I'm not supposed to go. I don't have to go. I can just log in online. It's 2019. That's fine. I definitely logged in last week when we had to go to that event. But every single Sunday, I think it's imperative that you sacrifice. It's something about the sacrifice of getting up, getting dressed, driving across town to church, listening to the word, paying your tithes, and then living your week. Like it's something different about that. So it's like a lot of people ask for a lot of stuff, but they're not willing to even sacrifice or do God's work. Like it's a lifestyle to worship. Like it's not something where you just hurry up and pay your tithes real quick and go along your day, or you just go to church once a month. Or even if you want to just start with prayer. Like I just feel like people ask for a lot of things and they wonder why things happen for you versus this person. But you have no idea the work that that person put in spiritually, mentally, physically to even get there. So I think comparison is like the thief of joy, but also the devil is the thief of joy because you're not even willing to do the work. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lifestyle. So what do you think you've done to build your relationship with God independently?
For me, I think opening up my mind more. Mm-hmm. I feel like how I talked about with the imposter syndrome, it wasn't only necessarily me not believing in myself, but like me just like, I used to have this mindset, or I'm growing out of a mindset of like, you know, like trying to be like a realist, right? Uh-huh. Like, okay, like realistically this could possibly happen. So I always thought of like, in my mind, I was like justifying it by saying I'm a realist, but I was really just thinking about the negative as well, like a mm-hmm. negative thing that could happen. And I felt like it inhibited me from making certain decisions. Mm-hmm. So for me, getting closer to God was going to church for sure. And you definitely helped me with that. Our prayer group.
Mm-hmm. So we have a prayer group. It's four of us, me, you, and we all have, so our alter ego names, they're actually our Uber names. So shout out to the Uber drivers. If you guys pick up Pamela, Gina, Ethel, or Cheryl. But Ethel is Taylor. Follow her. It's Taylor Gordon on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And Shay is one of my good friends I met just within the business, but she is like my sister. Her name on Instagram is Amor Lavi. That's Cheryl, AKA Shay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that's definitely helped a lot. And for me, I'm definitely sometimes a loner. Mm-hmm. So, and I like to have my personal time. So the book that you gave me.
Because every single day.
Don't listen to her, guys. in the book that you gave me, God is My CEO.
Yeah, shout out to Tatum.
Journaling and reading daily affirmations, I would say, has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And then also one thing that I changed this year that I wasn't doing years prior is opening up more to my friends and my family mm-hmm. about my own internal struggles. I used to be the type of person where I could literally have been bawling, crying right before you called me and you would never know. Like I would never tell you mm-hmm. and have stuff going on. So for me, it was more so like, okay, let me open up what I have going on. And it really opened things up because now people help me now.
Yeah, because you know they what I mean? Know what's happening.
Because they know what's happening. And I'm like, oh, wow, I should have been doing this a while ago. So I feel like all of that mm-hmm. together has helped me mature as a woman and be closer to God.
I feel like for me, definitely, my God is my CEO journal. And this is not a plug. This is like legit. So my friend Tatum, who literally told me like 50 times, I'm going to start you a podcast. You have to have this podcast. Like she's the reason we're here right now. Mm-hmm. Her name on Instagram is Tatum Mia. Good friend of mine, but she's such a woman of Christ. And like she wrote this book, simple journal, God is my CEO. And you write to God in the morning and at night. And in the beginning of the journal, you have to like literally write down your $1 million ideas. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that one of the $1 million ideas I wrote last summer was to own a factory and expand. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that when I opened a factory here. I had to go back to the book after the factory was open. I'm like, wow. So like the book is just amazing. It's simply you writing and journaling to God. But I'm a Virgo, so I'm very anal. So I do also have another journal that I write That's basically my diary. It's mm-hmm. basically my fashionpreneur diary. Really. It's literally my whole life. I hope nobody ever gets it. But Gina is also my diary. That's why she's here on this very first entry. She knows everything about me. I think at this point, you know every single thing about my life.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yep. Pretty much so. Yep. Hold you hostage. But pretty much, I do feel like with God this year, I've become closer through fasting and my lifestyle has shifted tremendously. So one thing that shifted, when I first moved, I remember we were at the airport. The devil was trying it. We were supposed to move December 27th.
December 28th.
Okay. December 28th. So we were supposed to move December 28th. Our flight, we got our flights really late. Our flight had a layover in Atlanta. So we were coming from Baltimore to LA. I still had an apartment in Baltimore, but we had already shipped our cars. Like, it was real. Our stuff was gone. We were moving. We get to Atlanta. As soon as we get to Atlanta, we get a notification that our flight, our connecting flight was canceled. So we were stuck in Atlanta. And I remember we ate at Longhorn Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time we ate meat. We agreed at that table. We were like, we need to fast because the devil is trying us. Mm-hmm. So we stopped eating meat. That was our last meal with meat. And then what else? Something else happened after that.
Somebody called you with your name
for the bag. Oh, yeah. So finally, the next day, we get on our flight. We now have another connecting flight now. So we go from Atlanta to Houston from LA. It took us so much to get here, y'all. So we're in Houston waiting on the last flight to get us to LA, our new home. And somebody calls me, like one of the attendants call me on the mic. Jessica Williams comes to the front desk. I get to the desk. They're like, hey, you're supposed to get on your flight to Baltimore. And I'm like, huh? They're like, yeah, your book bag is right here. We found your book bag and you need to get on the flight. We know you're checked in, but we were just doing last call. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what? I'm not going to Baltimore. I'm going to LA. And she's like, oh, this isn't your book bag. I'm like, no. Do y'all know I could have easily got on that flight and went back home because somebody named Jessica Williams, the same name as me, missed their flight? Mm. It was literally the devil trying me, like putting it right in front of my face. You want to go back to comfort or you want to go to the unknown? So I'm just grateful that we got there. But the next episode of the Fashionpreneur Diaries, I'm sorry, next entry, because this is a diary. Mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of have you discuss a little bit more of the personal. We've done a lot of the business, but I wanted us to discuss what happened. How do we grow as women, not just in Christ, but in this world? What are you doing differently that you weren't doing last year? So we'll get into that. Ooh. But guys, stick around for part two. I need you guys to definitely check out Project Beauty.
Yes, Project Beauty Expo happening September 14th and 15th at the California Market Center in downtown LA. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's 2 days this year, which I'm super, super excited about. Grab your tickets there while they're still available. And I can't wait to meet you there.
Yes, and we'll fill you in on more on the part two to this entry. So thank you guys for listening to the Fashionpreneur Diaries, entry one. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate this podcast, do all of that good stuff. Follow me on social media. My Instagram is irregular_Jess. And follow Gina here.
My Instagram, Gina. My Instagram is Monet Cause, MoneeCoS.
All right. So we'll talk to you guys in entry two.